welcome to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. You can find us on the web at lifechurchboston.org. God's Word is taking off from where you are right now and rising to build you up on the way to your destiny. Let's climb on board. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We actually have some handouts. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Rockland Clark. I'm the senior pastor here at Life Church, which is a privilege. It's great to be here with all of you today. And today is Communion Sunday. Amen. And so we will be sharing the Lord's Supper together. We don't have a sermon on Communion Sunday, but I do have a few remarks I want to share with you before we move on to our purpose for today, which is prayer. Amen. And it's also Palm Sunday, and I bought palms. We have them out there, and we can actually. Let's distribute them now. Let's give out the palms now, so folks can have them. Get your palms. Thank you. Alrighty, we have scripture sheets. Hopefully everyone has one. And who bought Bibles? Wave your Bible in the air so folks know. Amen. Now, if you need a Bible, we have we have some extra Bibles we can give out. So if someone needs a Bible, raise your hand. Someone will get one to you. Alrighty. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us. Thank you for this opportunity to get together with your people and to be about your business. We ask you to have your way throughout the rest of this meeting in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I wanted to say a couple of things about last Sunday we talked about. We're in a series on Romans chapters 8 through 16. And in Romans chapter 13, we went through a list of behaviors that we are to avoid. Amen? In fact, if you look in Romans chapter 13, this is why it's good to have a Bible. It's in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. And in Romans chapter 13, starting in verse 8, we read, "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature." Now, last Sunday we dealt with dissension and jealousy, and there are two Greek words that appear, as you know, the New Testament was written in Greek and is translated into English, and the Greek words that are translated, the Greek word translated dissension is the Greek word eris, and the Greek word translated as jealousy is zelos. And I started reading a book that I wish I'd read before I gave the message last Sunday, because it shed some light on those words. I just wanted to share with you one thing that that I got from it, and I'll need two volunteers, Michael and Bill. Oh, I'm sorry. She's sharp. And so Corinth, the book is called What Happened After Paul Left Corinth. And it discusses some of the things that went on in Corinth after the Apostle Paul wrote the letter. I know this is Romans, but it connects, trust me. Corinth was originally, it's a city in Greece, but at the time of the first century, the Greek Corinth had been wiped out by the Romans and had probably 200 years before, and had been resettled and sort of rebuilt as a Roman city. So it's in Greece, but it was redone sort of in Roman style with Roman culture, and they transplanted Romans in. And some of the things that characterized society at that time was that you needed highly trained people who knew how to speak in official contexts, like court. I mean, they were sort of quasi-lawyers slash people who were good at rhetoric. And so when you wanted an official case brought to court, you had to bring one of these people if you wanted, things to go well for you. So they were trained. And so there would be these teachers, and they would have schools of the training, right? And so, and it could be a lucrative business. And so a teacher would want to recruit pupils, and you could charge, well-to-do parents would send their kids to these teachers to be instructed in rhetoric so they could be successful in their future life. And so what would happen is a teacher would blow into town, and he would announce, I'm going to be giving a declamation at such and such time and place, and that was sort of his intro to explain, what services he could offer and why it was important for you to be able to know how to talk real good. Amen. And so he would do that, people would show up, and after he explained why he was, why this was such an important area of study and why he was the right person to teach your children, then he would take a random subject from the audience. And if he felt he could speak on it right then and there, he'd just give a whole discourse on it on the spot. But if not, he'd have like 24 hours to prepare something. Then he'd come back and show what he could do. Amen? And so the teachers would, and if it all worked out, the town would grant him citizenship so he could represent them to Caesar. Amen? And they would start signing up their kids, and he'd start getting paid. Amen? And it was a very competitive business. And so you might have a teacher like Bill who rolls into town, okay, and has some disciples. So pick three, get three disciples. And you might have another teacher like Michael who'd roll into town, and he'd get three. Yeah. Come on, quick. We don't have a lot of time. Yeah, stand up, stand by your man. Okay, because when it came to your teacher, okay, you were enthusiastic about your teacher and why he was the way to go, right? So you would, you'd be speaking like, Bill's our guy, he's the one, go he Bill, he the man, so do that. And you all do the same thing, okay? Come on. Crank it up, come on. Say his name.
He can do it, yes he can. Bill, he's our man. He can do it, yes he can. Say his name.
Now, so this group over here would be saying, we follow Bill. Okay. This group over here would be saying, we follow Michael. Right? Does that remind you of anything from the Bible? right? This is the situation in 1 Corinthians, right? Where, you know, see, Paul had left Corinth, and now they'd written about stuff that was going on, okay? And folks had taken, well, I follow Apollos, I follow Paul, I follow, see what I'm saying? Now, the attitude of the fans, the students, okay, who were for their guy was what the Greek word zelos means, okay? Zealous for their person, zealous or jealous over that person's reputation. You get it? Now, the other thing they would do is, let's say Michael's given a speech, you know, and Bill's students might come on by, come around, and just sort of stand around behind. And as soon as Michael makes a mistake, that's right. She would interject, see how he blew it? Listen, he's not the dude. Y'all need to get with Bill. Okay? All right? That's what the Greek word eris referred to. Dissension. You get it? So zelos is you're cheering for your guy, and the dissension is you're cracking on the other guy. You understand? And that had crept into the church.
Right now.
Okay? Thank you. Epsilon, rho, iota, sigma. Equivalent to E-R-I-S, but okay. Sorry. It was there on your sheet last. That was, I'll get it to you. Okay. I got it. Got you. Okay. So thank you very much. Thank you very much. So that just, I want to sort of, you get a picture of what that's like. Now, if you think about it, there is a modern arena where we see a lot of that. Politics. See that? You know, the people who are for one candidate, they're all about their candidate, and they're looking for opportunities to crack on the other candidate, okay? Which is why we should be really, really careful about even how we do politics as believers, right? Because those things creep into the church and create divisions and what have you. Amen? All right, so that's just, you know, by way of... just a little extra from last Sunday, and I won't charge you anything extra for it. All right. Today is Palm Sunday, as we said, and I just wanted to share with you something about Palm Sunday. So you have scripture sheets, and there's a reference there. The first passage is I want us to look at, and it was too long for me to fit on a single sheet, so I didn't. But... in 1 Kings chapter 1, something really interesting happened. So we'll read it. King David was Israel's great king and ancestor of Jesus. When King David was old and well advanced in years, he could not keep warm. This is a little interesting, but the Bible goes there, okay? He was well advanced in years. He could not keep warm, even when they put covers over him. So his servant said to him, "Let us look for a young virgin to attend the king and take care of him. She can lie beside him so that our lord the king may keep warm." Then they searched throughout Israel for a beautiful girl and found Abishag, a Shunammite, and brought her to the king. The girl was very beautiful. She was fine. She took care of the king and waited on him, but the king had no intimate relations with her, okay? And you might wonder, why is this in here? But it's in here for a reason, and it'll be apparent, although we won't read it, I'll tell you why later. Now, Adonijah, whose mother was Haggith, put himself forward and said, "I will be king." This is one of David's sons. So he got chariots and horses ready and with 50 men to run ahead of him. His father had never interfered with him by asking, "Why do you behave as you do?" He was also very handsome and was born next after Absalom. Absalom was one of the sons that didn't work out. He had rebelled against his father. Now Adonijah. David was not a great dad. Okay? It's possible to be a man after God's own heart and be, you know, have major problems in various kinds of areas. David, you know, murdered someone, he committed adultery, he was a lousy dad. And that should give us hope. Amen? It's not that God wants us to be failures in these areas. He actually has provided a way for us to succeed. But even if you're messed up, how many have messed up in some area of their life, or perhaps more than one? Amen? There's hope for you. Praise the Lord. I know, because there's hope for me. Adonijah conferred with Joash, son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar the priest, and they gave him their support. But Zadok the priest, Benaiah son of Jehoiada, Nathan the prophet, Shimei and Rei, and David's special guard did not join Adonijah. It's politics. Adonijah then sacrificed sheep, cattle, and fattened calves at the stone of Zoheleth near En-Rogel. He invited all his brothers, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah who were royal officials. But he did not invite Nathan the prophet or Benaiah the special guard or his brother Solomon. Then Nathan asked Bathsheba, Solomon's mother, "Have you not heard that Adonijah the son of Haggith has become king without our Lord David's knowing it? Now then, let me advise you how you can save your own life and the life of your son Solomon." This is serious business, right? Go into King David and say to him, "My lord the king, did you not swear to me your servant, surely Solomon your son shall be king after me, and he will sit on my throne? Why then has Adonijah become king? While you are still there talking to the king, I will come in and confirm what you have said." Well, you know, people who like the law and sausage shouldn't watch them being made. Okay, that's been said. And in some ways, that comes. Yeah. Sadly, that's often true of ministry. You get behind the scenes, it can be a little shaky. We try to be more open here. Yeah. So Bathsheba went to see the aged king in his room where Abishag the Shunammite was attending him. Bathsheba bowed low and knelt before the king. "What is it you want?" the king asked. She said, now this is the woman who was somebody else's wife, and David had, you know, spotted her, said, "Bring her to me," because, you know, it's good to be the king. And they brought it to him, and, you know, they got busy. And then he had her husband, who was one of his mighty men, had him killed in a really creative way. He said, there was a war going on at the time, and David had stayed home, and he told the commander, he said, "Listen, put Uriah," that was her husband, "where the fighting is fiercest. And then when the fighting gets really hot, draw back," right? So Zariah gets killed. That's what they did. And David thought he got away with it, but, you know, God exposed him. And as a result, he had a whole bunch of things happen, including the rebellion of his son, because God don't like ugly. And, you know, God sees what you think he doesn't. Amen? Amen. So what does you want? The king asked. She said to him, "My lord, you yourself swore to me, your servant, by the Lord your God, Solomon your son shall be king after me, and he will sit on my throne. But now Adonijah has become king, and you say, my lord the king, you do not know about it. And you, my lord the king, do not know about it. He has sacrificed great numbers of cattle, fattened calves, and sheep, and has invited all the king's sons, Abiathar the priest, and Joab the commander of the army, but he has not invited Solomon your servant. My lord the king, the eyes of all Israel are on you to learn from you who will sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. Otherwise, as soon as my lord the king is laid to rest with his fathers, I and my son Solomon will be treated as criminals." While she was still speaking with the king, Nathan the prophet arrived, right on cue. And they told the king, "Nathan the prophet is here." So he went before the king and bowed with his face to the ground. Nathan said, "Have you, my lord the king, declared that Adonijah shall be king after you, and that he will sit on your throne? Today he's gone down and sacrificed great numbers of cattle, fattened calves, and sheep. He's invited all the king's sons, the commanders of the army, and Abiathar the priest. Right now they're eating and drinking with him and saying, 'Long live King Adonijah.' But me, your servant, and Zadok the priest, and Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, and your servant Solomon, he did not invite. Is this something my lord the king has done without letting his servants know who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him?" So they were slick. But David had promised that Solomon would be king. And in fact, God had made it clear that was his will. See, even the son of an adulterous union, right? God can take that person and elevate him to be king and make him an ancestor of the Messiah. You understand? God isn't like us. God doesn't throw people away the way we throw people away. We say some, well, that's it. They're no good. They come from no, came from nothing. They ain't good, never going to be nothing. God says not so. Amen? Then King David said, call in Bathsheba. So she came into the king's presence and stood before him. The king then took an oath. As surely as the Lord lives, who has delivered me out of every trouble, I will surely carry out today what I swore to you by the Lord, the God of Israel. Solomon, your son, shall be king after me, and he will sit on my throne in my place. Then Bathsheba bowed low with her face to the ground and kneeling before the king said, may my lord, the King David, live forever. King David said, call in Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah, son of Jehoiada. When they came before the king, he said to them, take your Lord's servants with you and set Solomon, my son, on my own mule and take him down to Gihon. There have Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him king over Israel. Blow the trumpet and shout, long live King Solomon. Then you are to go up with him, and he is to come and sit on my throne and reign in my place. I have appointed him ruler over Israel and Judah. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, answered the king, amen. May the Lord, the God of my lord, the king, so declare it. As the Lord was with my lord the king, so may he be with Solomon to take his throne, make his throne even greater than the throne of my lord King David. So Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah son of Jehoiada, the Kerethites, the Pelethites went down and put Solomon on King David's mule and escorted him to Gihon. Zadok the priest took the horn of oil from the sacred tent and anointed Solomon. Then they sounded the trumpet and all the people shouted, long live King Solomon. And all the people went up after them, playing flutes and rejoicing greatly, so that the ground shook with the sound. Adonijah and all the guests who were with him, you know, with the celebration for, you know, I'm going to be king. Adonijah and all the guests who were with him heard it as they were finishing their feast. On hearing the sound of the trumpet, Joab asked, what's the meaning of all the noise in the city? Even as he was speaking, Jonathan, son of Abiathar, the priest, arrived. Adonijah said, come in, a worthy man like you must be bringing good news. Not at all, Jonathan answered. Our Lord King David has made Solomon king. The king has sent with him Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, the Kerethites, the Pelethites, and they have put him on the king's mule. And Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king at Gihon. From there they have gone up cheering, and the city resounds with it. That's the noise you hear. Moreover, Solomon has taken a seat on the royal throne. Also, the royal officials have come to congratulate our Lord King David, saying, may your God make Solomon's name more famous than yours and his throne greater than yours. And the king bowed in worship on his bed and said, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who has allowed my eyes to see a successor on my throne today. At this, all Adonijah's guests rose in alarm and dispersed. Time to get out of Dodge. But Adonijah, in fear of Solomon, went and took hold of the horns of the altar. Then Solomon was told, Adonijah is afraid of King Solomon and is clinging to the horns of the altar. He says, let King Solomon swear to me today that he will not put his servant to death with the sword. Solomon replied, if he shows himself to be a worthy man, not a hair of his head will fall to the ground, but if evil is found in him, he will die. Then King Solomon sent men, and they brought him down from the altar, and Adonijah came and bowed down to King Solomon, and Solomon said, go to your home. So this picture of the new king riding in on a mule, right, is you know, this would be an image that would come to mind, okay, when you see Jesus riding into Jerusalem. You understand? Right? There's a group of people who have decided that, oh, Adonijah, he's the king. So there's a group of folks thinking they're in charge. And meanwhile, God's chosen, right, is riding in, you know, on a mule, and he's the real king. Amen? Now, later, Adonijah asked Solomon's mother to ask Solomon to give him Abishag, the woman who had helped keep King David warm, as his wife. That's what got him killed. Because Solomon understood. She went in and asked Solomon. Solomon said, well, what more can you ask for him than the kingdom? Because if you can make the claim, listen, I'm sleeping with the king's concubine, that's a backdoor way into claiming the throne. Say, well, David really gave me his, you know, his concubine, so I really should be the king. And so Solomon understood Adonijah was still about the same thing. He was just trying to get in the back door, and he ended up being put to death. And that's why that story about Abishag is in there, right? So you can make the connection. Amen. Well, Zechariah chapter 9, verses 1 through 10, which is on your sheet, reads, the word of the Lord is against the land of Hadrach and will rest upon Damascus, for the eyes of men and all the tribes of Israel are on the Lord and upon Hamath too, which borders on it, and upon Tyre and Sidon, though they are very skillful. Tyre has built herself a stronghold. She has heaped up silver like dust and gold like the dirt of the streets, but the Lord will take away her possessions and destroy her power on the sea, and she will be consumed by fire. Ashkelon will see it in fear. Gaza will writhe in agony, and Ekron too, for her hope will wither. Gaza will lose her king, and Ashkelon will be deserted. Foreigners will occupy Ashdod, and I will cut off the pride of the Philistines. I will take the blood from their mouths, the forbidden food from between their teeth. Those who are left will belong to our God and become leaders in Judah, and Ekron will be like the Jebusites. But I will defend my house against marauding forces. Never again will an oppressor overrun my people, for now I am keeping watch. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. That's a messianic prophecy. And it has in mind Solomon entering in as a prefiguring of the Messiah coming into Jerusalem. And then we read in Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 17, also on your sheet. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They bought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees, that's the palms, branches from the trees, and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna means save us. Amen. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. And most of you know, some of you may not, that Jesus was a prophet, a priest, and a king. Amen? All in one. The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you're making it a den of robbers. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did and the children shouting in the temple area, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him. Yes, replied Jesus. Have you never read, from the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise? And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. And so, in Jerusalem, you had a bunch of folks, Sadducees and Pharisees, in the temple thinking they running things. Amen? And in reality, the real king, who came this time to die, but's coming back to reign. Amen? Actually, he's reigning now, and we're reigning with him. But he's coming back to tie it all up. Okay? But he came that time to die, though most didn't understand it, but he knew it. But he came in riding on a donkey because he's the real king. It's So very often you have two different, you have two power systems. You have the one everyone thinks is the power system, then you have the real power system. And the real power system is God's power system, and it comes in humbly. It doesn't come in the way the powers of the world operate. Okay? But that, make no mistake about it, that's the real power. Amen? Amen. And we are going to go to that real power in prayer. Praise the Lord. So let's break up into groups, and let's break up into, we usually break up into four, but let's do six or eight groups. We want to get groups of like five, because we want to be able to pray. And if you have too many people, it's going to take too long to go around. So let's break up into, you know, on either side of the room, front, back, and, you know, split again. You know, groups about four or five. Okay, so go for it.
You've been listening to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. We hope you've enjoyed your flight. As we prepare to land, please leave the belt of truth buckled around your waist and keep your life in an upright position. If you would like to support this program, or if you simply want more information about Life Church, please visit our website at lifechurchboston.org. As you go on with your day, please remember, Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations. Please put what you've just heard into practice in your own life, then teach it to others and watch God's kingdom take off around you.